that identity might be shifting. I think what's so important about these channels now is just that it's there's the whole universe of community.
This is Dennis Tech of Radio Birdman, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
I got a stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking for one that I can't find. The one where the guitar plays so fine, 'cause that's the only song that my baby likes to hear.
Turn out to the WGXC Record Fair, Sunday, September 15th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Basilica Hudson, 110 South Front Street in Hudson, near the Amtrak station. There are still a few spots left for vendors. If you'd like to get a table, email info at wgxc.org. WGXC Record Fair coincides with the Basilica Soundscape, September 13th through 15th, an immersive, innovative weekend of art, music, and culture. Turn out for the WGXC Record Fair, Sunday, September 15th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Basilica Hudson.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Phoebes of Gilboa, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
Radio broadcast, this I believe.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Governor Andrew M. Cuomo announced July 26 more than $540,000 will be awarded to the city of Hudson to replace residential drinking water lead service lines. The grant is being made through the New York State Department of Health's Lead Service Line Replacement Program. Hudson was one of 18 municipalities statewide to share $10 million from the program, an element of the state's $2.5 billion Clean Water Infrastructure Act of 2017. Cuomo said in a press release, and I quote, "This next round of funding advances our commitment to helping municipalities upgrade outdated systems, helping improve health, and keep our communities thriving," end quote. Municipalities are eligible to participate in the lead service line replacement program based on the, and I quote, "percentage of children with elevated blood lead levels, median household income, and the number of homes built before 1939 when lead service lines were used," end quote. The grant funds received must be used to replace residential lead service lines from the municipal water main to the residents. Read the press release at governor.ny.gov.
So Sarah Trafton reports for Columbia Green Media that when Greene County legislators were deciding whether or not to spend $70 million on a new jail in Coxsackie, they were told the old jail in Catskill was unusable. Now that construction has begun on the most expensive building project in Greene County history, the county is spending money asking engineers if the old jail building at 80 Bridge Street is actually usable. Legislators have been touting the old jail as a potential parking lot with 23 spaces or 41 spaces next to the county courthouse. But residents at a July 23rd meeting told legislators they have all sorts of ideas for that space near the main intersection in the village of Catskill. Ideas such as a hotel or restaurant, a museum or community space, a place for vocational training or other learning were all raised by speakers at the meeting. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Amanda Purcell is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Hudson officials are weighing the possibility of imposing a moratorium on internet-based homestays such as Airbnb and VRBO while the Common Council formulates a plan to regulate them. Approximately 20 people attended the meeting of the Council's Legal Committee June 24 to offer ideas and feedback on a draft plan to limit and regulate short-term rentals citywide. Hudson has about 150 short-term rentals registered with the city. Under the proposal, a limit would be placed on one owner per building, not per unit. Following passage of the local law, any existing rental grandfathered in would be non-transferable when the property is sold. City Attorney Andy Howard said the moratorium legislation would contain a hardship provision to allow property owners to challenge the city on the ban. Fourth Ward Supervisor Linda Mussman suggested the committee get a better handle on the extent of Hudson's short-term rental stock before finalizing the law. A draft law to establish a moratorium will be presented at the next legal committee meeting, August 28th, at City Hall. Read more about that story at HudsonValley360.com.
The Daily Freeman reports that a spokesperson for Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan announced July 25th that the Ulster County Fair has canceled its show with the country band Confederate Railroad. The band uses the Confederate flag in its logo, and its show at the Illinois State Fair was canceled earlier this year over the same issue. Confederate Railroad leader Danny Shirley said, quote, "I've done nothing wrong. I love the part of the country I'm from, and I will never apologize for that. It seems that everybody kind of gets looking for something to get upset about," unquote, Shirley said, quote, "and I guess I'm just the flavor of the month," unquote. Ryan explained specifically what he thought the problem was, quote, "The Ulster County Fair must be an event that everyone can enjoy while it representing the values of all members of our community," unquote, Ryan said in a prepared statement, quote, "Any showcasing of a symbol of division and racism runs counter to that principle and will be vigorously opposed by my administration," unquote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Paul Kirby is reporting for the Daily Freeman. A month after the Ulster County Democratic Committee rejected Lisa Cutton as its candidate for county comptroller, the former Kingston treasurer said July 25th she will now run on the Republican, Conservative, and Independence Party lines. Cutton's campaign announcement said she initially had no plans to run under the GOP or Conservative banners, but changed her mind. In her campaign announcement this week, Cutton said of Gallagher's endorsement, and I quote, "It appears that the process and candidate selection were not subject to an honest, democratic process, but rather the result of backroom deals," end quote. Asked about her opponent choosing to run on the Republican line after initially saying she would not, Gallagher said, and I quote, "I find it ironic and an example of sour grapes that she accepted the nomination from the County Republican Committee, which literally held a backroom private meeting on July 18th with no public notice or available minutes to select her as candidate," end quote. Ulster County Republican Committee Chairman Roger Rasko said the party approached Cutton about running and not the other way around. The winner of the November election will serve the remaining 2 years of former comptroller Elliot Auerbach's four-year term. Cutton formerly served as the county's Director of Accountability, Compliance, and Efficiency, as Deputy County Budget Director, Senior Auditor for the county's Comptroller Office, County Auditor, Comptroller for the Town of Fishkill and Poughkeepsie, and City of Kingston Treasurer. Read more about that story in the Daily Freeman.
Brian Fowler reports for Politico that President Donald Trump lost an attempt to put a judge he appointed on one of the two cases now about giving Congress access to his New York tax returns. Judge Trevor McFadden, who was appointed by Trump, rejected a bid by Trump lawyer William Consovoy to have McFadden hear both cases about the president's returns. In one case, the president's lawyers are seeking a restraining order against Democrats trying to make Trump's New York taxes public. Another lawsuit by Ways and Means Chairman Richard Neal seeks the president's federal tax returns. House Democrats are trying to get that thrown out. Quote, the Ways and Means Committee's decision whether to avail itself of a newly enacted provision of the New York tax code is a legislative act absolutely immune from challenge through the court system, unquote, lawyers for the House of Representatives said in a court filing. Quote, this court thus lacks jurisdiction to grant the relief requested by Mr. Trump, unquote. Read more about this story in Politico.
The Pew Research Center's annual assessment of the state of the news media is out, and among its key findings, U.S. newspaper circulation in 2018 reached its lowest level since 1940, the first year with available data. Total daily newspaper circulation, print and digital combined, was 28.6 million for weekday and 30.8 million for Sunday last year. Those numbers represent an 8% and 9% decrease, respectively, from the previous year. And the audience for local TV fell in key time slots in 2018, down 10% for morning news and 14% for late night and evening news. Pew reports that this has been a long-standing trend with declines in 2017 and from 2007 to 2016 as well. The decline in local TV audience was the greatest loss recorded in any media sector last year. Only cable news saw its audience increase in 2018. Pew also reported that digital ad revenue has grown, but a majority of that revenue went to Facebook and Google rather than to publishers. At the same time, traffic to news websites has leveled off, and time actually spent by readers on those websites has declined. You can read more about that story at pewresearch.org.
The Daily Freeman reports that Representative Antonio Delgado holds a series of town hall meetings starting Saturday, July 27th. Delgado holds town meetings in Otsego, Columbia, Montgomery, Sullivan, and Delaware counties. In Columbia County, Delgado will take questions at 6:30 p.m. July 29th at Chatham Brewing, 59 Main Street in Chatham. He will also be at the Roots Brewing Company in Oneonta at 5 p.m. July 27th, in Canajoharie at 6:30 p.m. July 30th, in Bethel at 6:30 p.m. July 31st, and in Sydney at 6:30 p.m. on August 1st. Usually Delgado gives an opening statement and takes questions for about an hour. His staff attempts to create a Facebook live feed online, and WGXC airs the webcast on the air at 90.7 FM if possible.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
National Weather Service in Albany predicts Sunday there's a 30% chance of showers or thunderstorms, mainly after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 84, low around 66. Monday, again, there's a 30% chance of showers or thunderstorms, mainly between 2 and 5 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 84 and a low around 68. Tuesday, again, the forecast is very similar. A 40% chance of showers or thunderstorms, mainly after 2 p.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high of 85 and a low around 66. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
On Sunday, July 28th, Yoga of the Earth is a monthly gentle morning yoga practice with teacher Stephanie Fisher and is backdropped by Olana's expansive Hudson River views from 9 to 10 a.m. at the Olana State Historic Site in Hudson. Basilica is partnered again with New York International Children's Film Festival to show their Best of the Fest Kid Flick series of shorts. The free screening series will also include free popcorn and is recommended for kids ages 8 and up from 3 to 5 p.m. at Basilica Hudson on South Front Street. That's it for this week's WGXC Community Calendar. You can add your own event and hear it right here on the radio by visiting WGXC.org and clicking on the calendar link at the top of the page.
Told you not to worry, but maybe that's a lie. Honey, what's your hurry? Won't you stay inside? Remember not to get too close to stars. They're never gonna give you love like ours. Where did you go? I should know.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
Hello, I'm Amelia, and I'm also from Hudson.
Hooray!
Yeah.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Bookish things. And we're usually here with our friends, Mashuda and Fahim.
But they can't be here today.
Yeah, not recently. I say usually, but usually during the school year. And
yeah.
Then in summer, everything gets crazy because of jobs and other vacations and stuff like that. But we're happy when they're here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about books today. And what would you like to talk about?
I'm still reading One of Us is Lying by Karen M. McManus.
I wonder what
I'm very
for.
Excited because one of my predictions about this book came true and I was right, but I can't say what it was because
we don't spoil things as much as we can help it.
Yeah, but I'm very excited that I was right about something.
Nice. So yeah, it's a murder mystery,
mm-hmm.
and there's several characters that are suspects, and each of them has a secret. So was it one of the character secrets that you were right about?
Yeah.
You feel super accomplished.
I do. I'm very happy.
It's the little things. And I think
I still have no idea what the big mystery answer would be. Like, I have no idea who the killer could be still.
Are there four or five suspects in this
There
book?
Are four of them.
So it's a book set in high school detention at the start.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the characters does not make it out of detention because he dies.
Yep.
And he was murdered. And those in detention with him are the suspects. And they all have motive.
Mm-hmm.
And Amelia is a genius detective and solved one of the secrets.
Exactly one.
So far.
The rest of the secrets were, oddly enough, like, not very well hidden. Like, one was very obvious. Another one was super obvious.
So did you discover those as well?
Yeah, because they pretty much were there immediately at the beginning. I was almost a bit disappointed. I was like, well, what's up with that?
Well, I'm still impressed by you. And maybe you'll solve the overall mystery, too.
Maybe.
Perhaps. But this is one of our Battle of the Books books. Are you going to be able to answer all the questions about the book?
I hope
Every
so.
Every single one?
Perhaps.
That'll be fun. But we do this trivia battle every year where the teens read five books and they answer trivia questions about them.
Mm-hmm.
And One of Us is Lying is your second battle book that you've read so far?
Yes.
This summer? Of the two...
I think Mashuda is reading The Hate U Give.
That's true. So you've read Six of Crows and One of Us is Lying you're almost done with.
Mm-hmm.
So far, if you had to pick a favorite of those two, which one would you pick?
One of Us is Lying. I have to betray my fantasy genre because I like it. I like One of Us is Lying. It's actually really good.
I'm glad you like it. It's good to like your books that you're reading. I, too, have read some books that I've enjoyed. One I read last night, all in one go.
Hmm.
But it was a graphic novel, so it's a little easier to read those all in one go.
Every so often, I will give in and read Nimona in one sitting.
Nimona is wonderful. We love Nimona.
It's very good.
Nimona for life.
Yes.
Nimona forever. I wonder if there will ever be another Nimona.
I might cry. I might have to cry if another Nimona comes out. I'll be that happy.
I would be so happy. I might cry too. I would write you right away if I ever heard that there was another Nimona coming out.
I appreciate that.
Noelle Stevenson, thank you.
I still can't wait to see the third Wings of Fire graphic novel because I'm very confident that will probably be the most like gorgeous looking of all of them.
I think that's coming out soon.
I can't wait.
Either I don't know if it's the summer. It might be in the fall. I just saw it in my carts of books to order for the library.
I'm very excited because that's the one that will focus on the rain wings. Those are like chameleon-like dragons, and the visuals on the cover of that third book are gorgeous enough on their own, and I can't imagine how a graphic novel would look like. Like, if I had to choose only one of those books to be a graphic novel, it would be the third one because I think it's going to be absolutely gorgeous.
Yay.
I might not even read the dialogue. I might just sit there and stare at everything going on since I already know the story. I might just look at all the pictures.
Mm-hmm. For anyone listening who is not a regular listener, you may not know about Wings of Fire, but Wings of Fire is one of Amelia's favorite series.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about dragons.
Yes.
All of the characters, or almost all of the characters, are dragons.
Yep.
And there's many different kinds of dragons, species of dragons. And,
yeah. At the moment, there are... I think there were 7 original tribes, and now there's 10 tribes in total, along with, like, the new continent that, like, came out with the most recent
And how
arc.
Many books are there again?
There are 12. There are 12
plus 3,
at the moment.
Or two
plus 3 graphic
3.
Novels. There are also 2, like, exclusive, like, short stories that I've never read, but I've heard of and basically know the plot of.
Yeah, I saw one of those at a bookstore the other day, and I was like, ooh, I wonder if Amelia's read this. It's like a little short story. A mini novella kind of length. But anyway, so the comic that I read last night was volume 2 in the Skyward series, which is from Joe Henderson. And this one was also with Lee Garbett and Antonio Fabella. And so this collects issues 6 to 10 of the Skyward series, which is a comic book series that I think is for teens and adults. And it's about a world where gravity no longer is with us. And so you have to be very careful about how you move around in the world, because if you push off too hard, you may end up not coming back down. You may fly out into the atmosphere.
Oh, dear.
And our main character is Willa. And in the first series, you are introduced to her, and you learn how her father was involved in what they call G-Day, which is the day when gravity ceased to exist. And so this follows up with Willa after what happens in the first five issues of the comic. And she's on the run, a fugitive, and she's traveling with her friend who has benefited from the lack of gravity because he's missing part of his legs. And so he was wheelchair bound, and with the lack of gravity, you don't have to walk anymore. So it's kind of made him freer in terms of his movement. And so they're on the run from a sort of evil man and corporation that want to keep gravity extinct because they benefit from that. And on the run, she's on a train headed towards Kansas City, and the train is stopped at some point because they're out to find her. So they're stopping all the trains. And when she tries to get out, they realize that one of the results of gravity going extinct is that the bugs have thrived and grown massively large.
Oh.
So there's giant bugs that the carnivorous ones would love to eat you as a treat. And she meets some farmers that farm the bugs out in the world. And there's like lots of adventure, and the visuals are really interesting because there's giant dragonflies and giant lightning bugs. And
that's cool.
It's really fun. It's a fun series.
I don't know if bugs would be like scarier or less scary if they were bigger. I mean,
they're terrifying. They're
recently
huge.
Like a giant, like the biggest bee in the world, which was thought to be extinct, was discovered alive in Indonesia.
How big was it?
In the picture, it was massive.
Like a couple
I know
handfuls.
The visuals. I know the viewers can't see, but about like this,
the size of
the width
book?
Of this book was how large,
wow.
How long it was.
It's pretty big.
It was like in a container in the picture I saw, and I'm just like, you know, I never need to go to Indonesia.
Although it's a beautiful country.
Yeah,
I've never been there, but
I guess in Arizona there's a thing called the tarantula hawk wasp, which are three animals that never needed to be fused into one thing. But yeah, I don't need to ever go to Arizona either.
Arizona is also a lovely place.
There's just certain places
don't
I don't
just
need
hide
to go.
From the bugs and the birds and stuff.
Yeah.
You'll be safe. Just bring an umbrella to whack them with if they come too close.
That's the thing. If the bug's big enough that you need an umbrella to whack them with, that seems to be a problem.
That's true. But anyway, so that's a fun series. I'm definitely going to keep reading, so I look forward to there being a volume 3. And then the other book that I finished the other day is The Book of Dust, volume 1, La Belle Sauvage by Philip Pullman, which is the first book in a prequel series to Philip Pullman's His Dark Materials series, which was a trilogy that included The Golden Compass, The Amber Spyglass, and The Subtle Knife, which I said those out of order, but those are the three books. And this one takes place before those books, and the main character in The Golden Compass, who's a young woman in The Golden Compass, is a baby in this book. So she is a main character, but she doesn't have much to do because she's a baby, so she mostly cries or doesn't cry, wets herself or gets changed. And like
babies so
she
don't generally
does baby
do
things.
Much.
Yeah, she does baby things. She gets taken care of. So our main character, I'm actually going to read the description for this one because I don't want to give too much away. And they have a nice description here. So Malcolm Polstead is the kind of boy who notices everything, but is not much noticed himself. And so perhaps it was inevitable that he would become a spy. Malcolm's father runs an inn called The Trout on the banks of the River Thames, and all of Oxford passes through its doors. Malcolm and his daemon, Asta, routinely overhear news and gossip and the occasional scandal, but during a winter of unceasing rain, Malcolm catches wind of something new, intrigue. He finds a secret message inquiring about a dangerous substance called dust, and the spy it was intended for finds him. When she asks Malcolm to keep his eyes open, Malcolm sees suspicious characters everywhere. Lord Asriel, clearly on the run, enforcement agents from the Magisterium, an Egyptian named Quorum with warnings just for Malcolm, and a beautiful woman with an evil monkey for a demon.
There's a list.
All are asking about the same thing. A girl, just a baby, named Lyra. Lyra is the kind of person who draws people in like magnets, and Malcolm will brave any danger and make shocking sacrifices to bring her safely through the storm. Woo! And it's fun. It's a young man that's the main character, and he makes a friend along the way who joins him on the adventure. And there's lots of people that he's not sure if he can trust, and you as the reader aren't sure if he can trust. And everybody seems interested in Lyra. the baby. And he and his traveling friend Alice are just interested in keeping Lyra safe, and he's interested in connecting the baby with her father.
Ah.
And he has a little boat, like a little dinghy, called the Belle Sauvage. Mm-hmm. And at some point in the book, there's a massive flood, and the streets are just filled with water. And so they're able to travel around on the boat, but the flood is, you know, in some places it's calm, but in some places it's really moving fast. Hmm. And so I kind of, they go on all these adventures through a city that's been kind of covered in water. And there's lots of real world type of things that happen, but also fantastical things that happen as well along the way. It comes to a conclusion, but it is volume one in a series, so there is definitely still more to develop in the story. So I don't know that it works that well as a standalone, but it was still very entertaining and exciting. I think there's a second book coming out very soon. I think volume two maybe comes out this fall or this summer. I'm not sure. I feel like I saw it recently listed, so I'll probably check it out at some point. I know there's a His Dark Materials series that's coming out sometime this year, and so I've been wondering if I would read those books again, because I really loved them when I first read them, and that was probably like 10 or 20 years ago that I first read them, so maybe time to read them again, but I could also continue reading the prequels until those are done.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But yeah, so that's what I've been reading lately. Next book that I'm reading is Monday's Not Coming by Tiffany D. Jackson, which I know our friend Fahim has read another book by her in school called Allegedly. I don't know if you ever had to read that for school.
I did not.
I'd never heard you talk about it, but
I had a, not my class, but another class had to read a Unwind for part of their project. And I remember my friend like freaking out about it, and I was like, yep.
That's a twisted book. It's just good. Funny because it's called Unwind.
Good, but it's terrifying.
Yeah, it's a terrifying, terrifying book. It's a start of a series. I've never read the other ones in the series, though. I just read that one. It does work well as a standalone.
Yeah, it does. I never read the other ones either.
And that was a former Battle of the Books book, and it was for middle school. I don't know how we got that one in. It is dark, but you all
loved
it.
I know, I remembered you like talking about how kind of messed up that one could be, and I was like, this doesn't seem that bad, and then I got to the chapter, and I was like, oh, this is bad.
Yeah, but it's very effective. That chapter is amazing.
That chapter is really
it's horrifying
effective.
And amazing, and you all should read it, Unwind by Neil Schusterman. Mm-hmm. Fabulous book. Do you know what you're going to read next after One of Us is Lying?
Probably another book battle book, but I do not have anything
Darkest
planned.
Darkest part of the forest.
Maybe.
That's what I would suggest for you.
Yeah, I need another fantasy thing it's in really my hands.
Mm-hmm. And that was our friend Sam J. Miller was talking about how great Holly Black is as an author, so highly suggested. All right. Well, we're just about out of time for today, but we hope everyone has a great week with lots of great books. And for those listening on Sunday, stay tuned for a little bit more from us. But for those listening on Thursday, have a great week. Happy reading.
Bye.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily, and I'm here with Amelia.
Hello.
And we just talked about some books, and now we're going to share some poems. Hooray.
Yeah.
I'll start off with one called This Morning I Pray for My Enemies by Joy Harjo. And whom do I call my enemy? An enemy must be worthy of engagement. I turn in the direction of the sun and keep walking. It's the heart that asks the question, not my furious mind. The heart is the smaller cousin of the sun. It sees and knows everything. It hears the gnashing even as it hears the blessing. The door to the mind should only open from the heart. An enemy who gets in risks the danger of becoming a friend. And that's from Conflict Resolution for Holy Beings Poems by Joy Harjo.
I have The Naming of Cats by T.S. Eliot, 1888 to 1965. I love cats.
Me too.
The naming of cats is a difficult matter. It isn't just one of your holiday games. You may think at first I'm as mad as a hatter when I tell you a cat must have three different names. First of all, there's the name that the family use daily, such as Peter, Augustus, Alonzo, or James, such as Victor or Jonathan, George or Bill, Bailey, all of them sensible, everyday names. There are fancier names if you think they sound sweeter, some for the gentlemen, some for the dames, such as Plato, Admetus, Electra, Demeter, but all of them sensible, everyday names. But I tell you, a cat needs a name that's particular, a name that's peculiar and more dignified. Else how can he keep up his tail perpendicular, or spread out his whiskers, or cherish his pride? Of names of this kind I can give you a quorum, such as Monkastrap, Quaxo, or Coracopat, such as Bumbleorina, or else Jellylorum, names that never belong to more than one cat. But above and beyond, there's still one name left over, and that is the name that you never will guess, the name that no human research can discover. But the cat himself knows, and will never confess, when you notice a cat in profound meditation, the reason I tell you is always the same. His mind is engaged in a rapt contemplation of the thought of the thought of the thought of his name, his ineffable, effable, effin-ineffable, deep, inscrutable, singular name.
Woo.
I'm amazed I read that last line without any mistakes.
That's really fun.
That was a fun word to say.
Yeah. I wonder what my cat's name is that only he knows.
Right?
My cat has a very long name.
I don't know. Patches has never been around any other cats.
Is Patches your full cat's name, as far as you know?
As far as I know, she's Patches.
Patches Ortiz?
Yes.
My cat is Huli Mari Beku Benison Shemitas.
Oh, wow.
My cat kept the name Benison when I got married. He kept that name. But Huli Mari Beku means sweet little tiger cat.
When my grandmother's cat was a kitten, we called him Bo Baby because he was the smallest.
Bo Baby.
Now he's the largest, and he will only respond to Bo Baby. He won't just respond to Bo.
I had a cat named Bo.
Hmm.
That was my first cat when I was born. So I have a very different poem. Mm-hmm. And it's one of my favorites by Gwendolyn Brooks, The Bean Eaters. They eat beans, mostly, this old yellow pair. Dinner is a casual affair. Plain chipware on a plain and creaking wood, tin flatware. Two who are mostly good, two who have lived their day, but I keep on putting on their clothes and putting things away. And remembering with twinklings and twinges as they lean over the beans in their rented back room that is full of beads and receipts and dolls and cloths, tobacco crumbs, vases, and fringes. And that's from The Bean Eaters by Gwendolyn Brooks.
Ooh.
Yay. But yeah, so those are some lovely poems. Yeah. We found these on poets.org.
Yeah.
And you can find these and others on that site. There's tons and tons of poems on there. And you can look them up by theme and author. Mm-hmm. But we're out of time for today. So we hope everyone has a good week.
Yep.
Reads lots of good books.
Happy reading.
And yes, we're here live at Hilo in Catskill. We've got a bunch of students from the Catskill Media Camp. Is that what it's called? And you're, what's your name?
My name is Kaylee Neary.
And what do you do at the...
At Catskill Media Camp, basically a bunch of students make movies. So you learn how to use cameras and you learn how to use different softwares such as Final Cut Pro and iMovie. And you put together your own movie.
And so what is your favorite part of doing that? Do you like shooting or writing the scripts?
My favorite part
editing?
Is like putting it all together. All the work that you put in and having the final product is just so cool. Because it's like you use your own ideas and you make it come to life, kind of.
Do you guys put special effects? Or
Yeah, so we use a bunch of different, like... You can put in different sounds to make it a better movie. So using Final Cut Pro and iMovie, you're allowed to add in different touches, making it a better film.
And do you guys make fictional films or documentaries, or do you do news?
We do a little bit of both. We do some kids can make up their own, like, fictional story. Some people interview others. We do a little bit of everything.
What subjects have you been working on this summer?
I'm doing a recreation of a show, and some kids are doing like a basketball movie. Some are like doing an award ceremony. Some are doing dance like videos. It's everything.
And do you guys you stay at school to work on this, or do you guys go out into the community?
Yes. So the camp is on campus, so it's at the Catskill High School. We have our own little room, and we are provided with IMAX and MacBooks, and we're also provided with our own cameras, GoPros, tripods. We have everything.
And what's the ages of all the students?
So it's incoming fourth graders, and it's up to seniors. And we even have some seniors and 11th graders who are helping us.
And it's full for this year?
Yes, we have a lot of kids this year. It's probably one of the biggest amount we've ever had, and it's really good.
Not everyone is involved in the campus here, or how many kids are there all together?
I'm sorry?
How many students are there all together in the camp?
There's over 50. I don't have an exact head count, but I know there's over 50.
So that's great.
Yes.
And all different ages, too.
Yes.
So you guys all work together?
Yeah, we're a very good group. We're all helpful to everyone. It's a great group.
And how did what got you interested in this?
Well, I always wanted to make movies. I wanted to learn how to edit. I wanted to be on YouTube. So when I found out about this camp, I like immediately started going, and I've been doing it for 5 years, and it's just such a fun camp.
Wow, 5 years. So you're going to be a pro director soon.
Hopefully.
Is that what you are? Is this something you're interested in doing?
I'm not sure what I want to do, but this is a big impact on me, and I love doing this.
Yeah, I guess it can help in lots of, depending on what you do, lots of jobs have media aspects to
Absolutely.
Them now. Yeah, more jobs are doing like YouTube videos and
yes.
All kinds of things.
Yes, Catskill's really big with media and like technology, so it's just good to have.
Are you on, so you're at Catskill High now?
Yes, I'm an incoming freshman.
Ah, so you're just starting this
year.
Yeah. Are you going to be involved in the?
Hopefully, I'm taking some of classes using this, and so hopefully that I'll become better. And I don't know.
Because Catskill has a little news show every Friday, I guess.
Yes, it comes out every Friday, but it's a bunch of students putting in their work, and they're creating their own production.
Now, when you guys are finished this summer, how long are you? Is the camp? For the summer?
It starts in July and it ends in July. So it's like the month of July.
So the work that you create, is it shown somewhere or can you
yes,
see it?
Yes, we're hopefully trying to get all of our movies that we all created, and we're going to hopefully try to get them to show at the Catskill Movie Theater.
Oh, wow. That would be great, yeah.
Just to show our families what we worked on.
Yeah, and the public would be able to come too?
Yes, 100%.
Oh, that would be great. So
you can look for the date on our YouTube channel, because we do still produce like little videos.
And what is the YouTube channel called? I think I subscribed.
You can look up Catskill High School or Patrick Hernandez.
Yeah, I think
and
it's under Patrick Hernandez's name.
Yes.
Yeah. If you search for that on YouTube. And so you have videos there from that you've made this summer.
Yes, we also show little vlogs that we did, so you can see our progress throughout a day. And so we have little vlogs that are uploaded every day, and we also have like our whole like news channel that shows up every Friday.
And tell people who don't know what a vlog is.
So a vlog is basically you document what you did throughout your day on video. So we have a teacher there, Bill Mayoris, and he records little stuff that everyone does, and it's just great. It shows everyone and parents at home what we've been doing and what we're working on.
And what is what's been the most difficult or that you've done so far?
Well, my hardest thing is editing. It's kind of difficult, but it's something that you have to keep practicing and working on to get better at. So hopefully I can get better at editing.
What's the most surprising thing that you found this summer or working with the camp over the years?
The biggest thing is, like, I would say is your ideas. The stuff that you put together and that you can create, it could be something as, well, our the teacher there, Bill Mayoris, he just thought of an idea with a bag of chips and having talking chips. And it's just something like little like that can make something be funny and like go big. Like, so it's just the little things.
Like putting two potato chips together?
And having
like
talking to each other. Yeah, it's just the little things like that.
So that might be something we see if we go to the Catskill movie theater soon and see the talking potato chip video. Any other videos or films that people have been making that have been really good?
I'm not sure what everyone's doing, but I know that some people are working on a basketball video, a group of boys, and I know that someone also was creating a video about like Photoshop, and she's just trying to make it funny. And it's just the little things. You can take anything and then make it funny in your own. It's just the best thing.
What's been your favorite part of the whole experience?
My favorite part is just going out and shooting and just making your own movie.
Where have you gone out in Catskill?
We're able to go use our soccer fields. We can go to gyms, auditoriums, hallways. We can use lockers as backgrounds, or we can just go out in front of the school. We can do whatever.
Have you gone more trips outside into the community?
Yes,
like this?
We can. Well, sometimes we can use a main street. We can use the bridges. It's just the best.
All right. Anything else you want to tell us? Or
come to media camp next year.
Come to media camp. So if you're a student, you have to be in the Catskill schools?
Yes.
And what do you have to do? Do you have to...
At the end of the year, they will hand out papers and forms, and you just have to fill it out and hand it back to the school.
And are you guys there all day, every day? Or?
We're there from 8 to 12, Monday through Thursday.
So it's more of a morning school, and then you get the afternoon to do what you want or take your camera out more? Or,
Yeah.
Do you guys work with just professional equipment, or do you work with, like, phones?
We normally work with professional equipment, but if you wanted to use your phone to, like, make a special effect or a different kind of quality, you can do that. You can use AirDrop from your phone. It's not limited to anything.
AirDrop is just a way to move files around?
Yes.
Yeah. So you guys... do all sorts of things with computers. I mean, just edit, you have to move files around, you have to...
Yes, we make our own files, we have to make our own scripts on the computers, we...
So a lot of work has to go in before you even get to the shooting part,
right?
Yes,
you have to think of your shot list, where you want to, like, different angles of the camera, and you have to pick your script, so what everyone's going to be saying.
Yeah, how long does it take to write a script, or how long are the movies, I guess?
Movies kind of range between like 4 minutes to like 2 minutes. Long movies can last like 10 minutes if you're having a really big movie, but if you're putting the script, it depends on how long your movie is.
And so what is your movie?
So my movie is, we're basically going to recreate this, like, funny section of The Bachelor, and it's a bunch of the girls, like, arguing, and we're just going to, like, make it, like, us the kids do it, and it's just going to be really funny.
And what other subjects are different students doing?
Some students do, like, there's a segment called Street Talk, So they basically come out to the community and talk to people, and they just ask them different questions. Some are documentaries or maybe like a little more scary. Some are just general funny movies. It's a mixture of stuff.
Are you just talking to other students, or do you talk to adults too?
No, we do talk to adults, yes.
And do they, when you talk to the adults, do they take you seriously, or they treat you like your kids doing something? Or?
They do treat us like kids. They understand, and they're very helpful, and they're good with that.
That's good. So so this has been a really, you would recommend this to other students?
Absolutely. It's something fun to do during summer, and it just keeps you busy.
That's great.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you very much for talking to us today. Are we going to talk to anybody else, or does anybody else want to talk? We've got a bunch of students here. No. Logan does want to talk. Okay, let's talk to Logan. Thank you, Kaylee. Sorry. And you're Logan. What's
Rogan.
Your
last? Fern. B-Y-R-N-E.
And is Logan? Did
Rogan
I say
Rogan with an R?
Rogan. Rogan. And let's get you just a little tighter there. It's Rogan with an R, and
yes.
What was your last name?
Byrne.
Rogan Byrne. All right. And what are you doing this summer with the camp?
I'm working on different movies right now. We just finished up a movie about anti-bullying and how you shouldn't do it. And we tried to put a little bit of a funny tint on it, but it was more to the serious side.
And so what did you tell us about the process for the – did you guys write a script first, or was it more of a documentary where you asked questions?
We couldn't think of an idea, so we brainstormed one, and we came up with this. So then we pulled up, our computer, and we started writing a script about it. And we started thinking of ideas, and then we wrote a shot list. So we went out with a camera, and we just decided, we would try to find the different place that would fit the shots better. And we filmed it all. We went back, and then we edited it, and – we did, all these different... We used iMovie, and I don't know if we used GarageBand, but it's if we needed to make different sound effects or more music behind this film, we would have to use GarageBand.
That's used GarageBand to edit audio. We use Audacity a lot at our radio station, but some people use GarageBand, too. And then iMovie and not Final Cut for the editing audio?
We use Final Cut, but... sometimes, if we need, we'll use iMovie, but a lot of people use Final Cut as theirs.
And tell us about the anti-bullying movie. What sort of questions did you ask, or did you ask questions, or you found?
No, it was we made we thought of an idea, and then we brought people in, and they were like actors. So we just went off of different people. We were told what to say, and we just worked on that. We made it up.
Yeah.
But it was about the same thing.
So what did you do to act out, tell us, is bullying a problem in the schools?
Bullying is definitely a problem in a lot of schools. I think ours doesn't have as much, but there still is. Some people more than others. But our movie was this one kid, and we just, there was three people, and they would push him into lockers. They would laugh at him. They would call him out on different things. And then he had this duck. And when he went, someone stole it and he ran into a room.
It was an actual duck?
No, it was a stuffed animal duck. But they kept making fun of him because he brought it everywhere. And then he went into a room and you didn't know what happened, but there was just screams. And then the duck was sitting there and... it's like it's saying you shouldn't do this or something like this could happen to you.
Oh, that's smart doing the action goes into a room, but you can't see it. They have a shot of the door then?
Yeah, and then you just put in a sound effect of someone screaming behind him.
So that lets the audience use their imagination.
They can think of what actually happened in that room, so you don't really know.
Right, everybody has a sort of different view, but it's
if you were a victim of bullying, you could think of something that would have happened in that room,
or maybe something that happened to you before or something. Mm-hmm. Do you think that tell us what you filmed that, and then did you do this all yourself, or it was a collaboration with a bunch of people?
It was different people.
And so what part of it did you work on?
I was one of the actors, and I helped put my input in some of the things we would put in editing. Mm.
So were you the bully, or were you the bully?
I was one of the bullies.
You were one of the bullies. And was that a tough role for you?
It was definitely weird, like, because we had to push him into a locker at one point, and then we had to laugh at him as we walked away, and it was weird to do, but...
Like, have you done any acting before?
Yeah.
You have, oh.
Like, so, just the small movies around the film, but...
Is this your first year in the camp, or...?
No, I think this is my third or fourth year.
And what grade are you going into?
I'm going into eighth.
You're going into eighth grade next year.
It's WGXC 90.7 FM.
Right.
Accra.
Keep going.
Hudson, Catskill, Phoenicia, and lots
Phoenicia.
Of other places.
That's an interesting addition.
And Valencia.
And
or
Valencia.
As they usually call it when you first land in Columbia County.
Valatie.
Valatie.